It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using hashtag ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria @RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Hi, this is Dr. Daria, and now is time to answer your own health questions. So first, we're going to start off with a question from Ada in Vermont. And she asks, what should I look out for in regards to frontotemporal dementia, and are there early warning signs? Now, it's interesting. We had a lot of our readers and a lot of our viewers and listeners ask us questions this week because of a video that had been posted on ShareCare about frontotemporal dementia, or otherwise known as FTD. So I want to describe it a little bit. FTD is a sort of catch-all phrase to encompass a variety of disorders in which you have your brain's lobes of the frontal lobe or the temporal lobe that get affected. Now, these areas of our brain really control our personality, how we behave, and even, you know, what we call our filters, in addition to our language. So when they are affected, that's why your symptoms are going to involve those kind of characteristics. The average onset of the symptoms of FTD is fairly young, with the average age being 58. However, it can occur as early as 40 and as late as 75. There are so many subtypes, so there's not one single warning sign. Rather, the variety, the symptoms are based on the kind of variant or type that a patient has. The most common type is the behavioral variant. And in that, someone will notice a personality change, and that can really range. It can range from complete apathy and social withdrawal to, on the opposite, getting at loss of inhibition and total impulsiveness or even aggression. So you experience really somebody who has lost their filter of the frontal lobe that is controlling their personality. They may also notice some changes in eating patterns, loss of empathy, or you also may notice somebody who's just suddenly very rigidly adherent to a routine. You know, unlike some other forms of dementia, the cognitive function and their ability to think and their mental capacity may remain intact early on before it progresses. Now, the second most common presentation of FTD is with speech and language problems, meaning that you may have difficulty understanding or using language. Now, they may forget, words and words and when they're trying to think of them. And we all sort of do that. We all can forget a word that's on the tip of our tongue. That does not imply that you have FTD. Somebody with FTD may confuse a pen or a car for each other or for a desk, and instead of spelling words correctly, they may start spelling and reading them phonetically. So instead of spelling shoe, S-H-O-E, they may start doing it as S-H-O-O, strictly due to the changes that they're experiencing in their brain. A more rare type of FTD is one that involves movement symptoms. And so they may, more rare, but it can include tremors, spasm, poor coordination, or even strange movements. So it really depends on the type of FTD that someone has. Now, Jane from South Carolina said, what is the longest you can live with FTD? And symptoms tend to progress over 2 to 3 years, with most people living on average 4 to 8 years after their diagnosis. And with most people with FTD, as their symptoms progress, they require 24-hour care. So the people with FTD have been known to live anywhere from 2 to more than 10 years after the diagnosis. So every single patient is different. Lastly, Kevin from Texas on FTD, last question on it, said, is there anything I can do now to prevent ever getting dementia? And that really depends on the type of dementia. For FTD, one big component of it is genetic. A substantial percent of people with FTD have a family history of dementia. However, we just don't know the other risk factors. And many people who develop FTD have no family history of it or other types of dementia. So we really have to do more research to understand what's going on. However, for other types of dementia like Alzheimer's, there is growing evidence that higher level of physical and mental activity are associated with lower rate of dementia. In addition, having a strong social network is also linked with lower risk of dementia. And in addition, overall medical illness, especially chronic, seems to worsen somebody's risk of having dementia. So it really seems that keeping your body healthy can also go a long way to keeping your brain that way as well. Moving on from FTD to some other questions, we had Christine from Washington say, if I think I have the flu now, would it help my symptoms to get vaccinated? Now, once you have the flu, then a vaccine at that point is not going to help you recover from that flu illness that you have right now. But it's important. I want to remind people that, yes, the flu season has peaked. But the CDC is saying that it's still beneficial to get the flu vaccine because we're likely to see the flu hang around for another 6 weeks or so. So you're going to still be at risk of getting it. And not only that, yes, we have heard that this year's vaccine is less effective than in prior years, but the strains that are in the vaccine that it does cover are actually the ones that are more likely to be present and circulating at the end of the season. So we may experience it maybe even a little more effective as we get on later on in the flu season. Lastly, the CD says that even if you do get the flu after having the vaccine, your symptoms are going to really be milder. You may have milder symptoms, they may last for less time and just be less severe in general. So for anyone who's had the flu, knowing that you can make it just a little bit milder is a big deal. So still good to consider getting your flu vaccine if you haven't gotten it yet, but do us all a favor, do yourself a favor, and next flu season, be more proactive about it. Now, I had Deborah from California, and she wanted to know if intermittent fasting is safe and it will help me if it'll help me with weight loss. First of all, fasting diets are really not a good way to achieve prolonged weight loss. You know, while you may see some initial weight loss initially, it's going to be at the cost of muscle instead of fat, and so fat's what you want to be losing. And it's also going to cause you to slow your metabolism that causes your body to just pile the weight back on as soon as you stop that fasting diet. It can, if it's prolonged, lead to dangerous electrolyte problems, as well as loss of hair and thinning of your skin. And I really want to talk about something called your body's set point. Everybody's body has a set point, and that's kind of where your body feels its equilibrium to stay as far as weight. It's a range. Now, that set point can be changed, but to change requires gradual adjustment of your weight. If you suddenly drop 15, 20 pounds, your body is not going to see that new lower weight as your set point. It's going to try to get you back to the higher weight. Unless you do so with prolonged changes, lifestyle changes, and exercise, you're going to be gain the weight back, and it's going to be a constant battle. So the bottom line is that really to lose weight, you got to do gradual change that includes lifestyle changes. It's a one proven way to lose a weight, change your set point, keep it off. So it's not a battle to keep at that lower weight. You want to adjust your set point. Also on weight loss, Vicky from New Jersey said, how can I tell if my child has an eating disorder? I see her eat, though in small portions, and she doesn't throw up, but she keeps losing more and more weight, and she seems really happy about it. And Vicky, I want to tell you, it depends on your daughter's body. It also depends on her perception of her self-image. You know, one of the hallmarks of eating disorder is a distorted perception of your body. So that as she's losing weight, does she continue to see herself as fat? Does she seem to equate her self-worth with how thin she appears, and therefore she's totally undervaluing her whole self-worth because she doesn't think she's thin enough? That's going to be the hallmark. Another sign is some denial. So if somebody is extremely thin, to the point of being unhealthy, they're denying any medical seriousness of it. So if, on the other hand, she's always overweight and is losing weight to the point of being healthy, plus seems to have a healthy self-esteem that's not tied to her body size, those are all good signs. Bottom line is it's less about her shape and size and more about how she feels about herself and her own skin that will help you know if you need to seek help. Lastly, somebody asked about holistic treatments for cancer. And they said, are there holistic treatments? I don't want to put poison into my body with chemotherapy and radiation, but not sure if anything else has actual results. And, you know, I get it. Chemo, radiation, surgery, they're all onerous, painful treatments. And I understand wanting to avoid them. But they are the cornerstones of treatment for cancer, and they are proven, and depending on the precise cancer and stage. So this should be the first step for every patient's priority is to do when they're seeking care is chemo, radiation, surgery, what's appropriate, and look for the doctor that's best in that. Now, some patients may find that some alternative therapies may help them as they seek care and treatment for their cancer in addition to other treatments that they're getting. It may be helping with side effects or helping them with pain, fatigue, and nausea. But I don't want people to seek that instead of the traditional and forego the treatment that we know could help. Only use alternative treatments if you've had them approved by your oncologist, because some alternative therapies could interfere with the standard treatments that have been shown to be most effective, therefore being really counterproductive. So that's all the time we have for today, and I'll be back next week to answer more of your questions. In the meantime, feel free to tweet your health questions to our Twitter @ShareCareNow using the hashtag ShareCareRadio. Your question could get answered on the air. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Radio MD's ShareCare Radio, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.